against the wall of Kufa. And when Amr, when he killed Amr ibn Abdul Wahab, he said, this strike of Ali's sword on this day of Khandaq is better than all the worships of Thaqalain, this world and hereafter. SubhanAllah. Salawatu ala Nabi. Brothers and sisters, when we reflect on Amir al-Mu'mineen, we see the qualities that was similar to what was mentioned in Surah Baqarah, verse 247, when the Prophet said to them, surely Allah has raised Talu to be a king over you. They said, how can he hold kingship over us, while we have a greater right to kingship than he, and he has not been granted an abundance of wealth? He said, surely Allah has chosen him in preference to you, and he has increased him abundantly in knowledge and physique, ilm and jism, which I refer to as knowledge and military skill. That was Amir al-Mu'mineen, with a perfect demonstration throughout his life. Rasulullah said, I am the city of knowledge, Ali is the gate. So he was the inheritor of the knowledge of the Rasul. But his knowledge was combined with that military skill. Two dimensions of the personality that is required for leadership. And it was demonstrated also by Imam Hussein and his followers. And it is something that we need to reflect on, brothers and sisters, that we have to strike a balance, especially the men, the young men. Look at the men of Karbala, the designer. She used to look at the yard in Medina and think that these prophecies can possibly come true. She's looking at 18 powerful young men, because each and every one of them gave such a good account of themselves. These young men were not easy. They were powerful horsemen, powerful swordsmen. They demonstrated a military skill that made Zainab feel secure. And that is how she felt. On the day of Ashura, when she saw them fall one by one, and especially Abbas, because she would think, we have Abbas, and everybody knows who is Abbas. Abbas is like, Amir al-Mu'mineen, come back. You know? When he said, clear the way for the women of the Bani Hashim, they are passing. Everybody stay in their houses and let them pass, so that no one can even look at, although they were covered fully, no one can even look at these covered women of the Bani Hashim. What a contrast when he was not there, and they had to walk through the streets of Sham without any covering because of the slaughter of Karbala. So, brothers and sisters, we have to do some duties. Imam Sadiq said, Kullu yawmin ashura, kullu ardin Karbala. Every day is Ashura and every place is Karbala. He said, we have to leave off everything. He said, my great-grandfather Imam Hussein left off everything. We have to leave off everything. His followers would ask, so how are we to leave off everything? He said, you have to do some duties. You have to perform all the fara'id, and you have to avoid all the haram things.
Oh, people, have mercy on me. I am Hussein's young daughter, and how can you people forget that my grandfather's Haider? And on top of what I've said, my great-grandfather's Ahmed.
The same thing was mentioned by Amir al-Mu'mineen. These two duties. He said, if you can do these two duties, then you are on the road. But in order to just do these two duties of performing all that is wajib and avoiding all that is haram, basic ilm is required. You have to know. You have to know what is halal and what is haram and all the different grades in between. So the ilm is necessary. So, particularly with respect to our youth, we have to look at these two dimensions, the ilm and the jism. You know, we have to balance ourselves. We have to live in this world trying to be strong believers. We have to be healthy, maintain healthy lifestyles, and not just, you know, relax where our physical condition is concerned. Because we have to be physically fit, physically strong, even if it is only for ibadah. You know, to perform tahajjud, to perform hajj, you know, to carry out all our basic duties, right? To enjoy what is right and forbid what is wrong, to be involved in dawah and Islamic activity. It calls for physical condition. We cannot afford to be sickly. So we have to look at healthy lifestyle. We have to look at being healthy, keeping ourselves physically fit, observing the basics of physical fitness, and looking at ways and means of keeping ourselves in a position of being able to defend ourselves. Because one of the qualities that the believers mentioned, this is in Surah Shura, chapter 42. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ. Those who, when befalls them a severe aggression, a severe transgression, they defend themselves. Self-defense. Your country looks like a pretty civilized society. You know, first world compared to ours, we are third world. Right now in our society, brothers and sisters, very, very terrible situation. People are in a virtual civil war because the young people of our country, they are so misdirected and so misguided that they have virtually waged a war against those who have. They want to get rich quickly, and they are stealing, robbing, kidnapping. And the Muslims have to face, just like the rest of the society, this type of situation. What do they have to do? They have to defend themselves. Muslims have to prepare themselves to defend themselves, defend their women, defend their families, defend their wives and children. Because they will be attacked, and Muslims have been attacked. Muslims of our community have been attacked. Muslims of our community, we have a brother who was accompanying the Maulana, and they were attacked. And the Maulana was wounded with an ice pick, you know, the person who attacked them, he stabbed at his back. We have brothers who had to run because their car was being hijacked. We had brothers who, their car was hijacked and they couldn't run, and they were kept in the back seat with the foot of the bandits on top of them, and they reached a point and they threw them over a precipice. But lucky thing, the brother was good for himself. He held onto a tree and was able to save his life, otherwise he would be gone. This is the kind of situation facing even Muslims in our community. I don't know what your situation is here. But in any event, you always have to be prepared, especially the young men. And the serial guides us by advising the parents to develop the youth, train the youth in, you know, being able to swim and these types of, to ride and military skills. So that, you know, you apply the alternative. You know, swimming, yes, we have swimming too. And riding, you know, you have all types of, various types of driving or whatever, skills. Develop skills and prepare yourselves. Because we do not know what situation we will fall in. There are some countries in this world where Muslims are under siege, totally. And we are not saved in the West. We have to be always conscious and be careful and aware of what is happening. In our country, the US, as you are aware, the US developed a policy of war on terror, as they call it, but part of their strategy involved sending their agents to entrap people. They have been using this entrapment, and I believe they have used it in the UK as well, among Muslims. They sent an agent to entrap some of our brothers in the Caribbean, and they were able to get through to two of our leaders through the way that they the way that the person came, he was such a good actor with all this Muslim garb and speaking nice about Islam and all these things. And he got into the home of the brothers and exposed them. They exposed some plot and they said they're not interested in that. But because they were able to capture different elements of speech and cut and paste and everything, they said, okay, they have a case. And right now, three of our brothers, one is almost on the verge of dying in the prison because he was 62 years old. One of our Shia community leaders. Another one from Guyana. Entrapped and in prison in Trinidad, waiting on a verdict next week Friday. So this is the type of situation that is constantly affecting us, and we have to be vigilant. We have to be conscious and vigilant. And as I'm saying, it is particularly necessary in the case of the young people. But tonight, getting back to Karbala, brothers and sisters, tonight is a very sad occasion. And I want to draw the beautiful example of a youth, you know, who left off everything. And, you know, when you say left off everything, I mean, he really left off everything because he just got married. You know, think about it, my dear brother. You just got married. You are ready for your honeymoon. But instead of honeymoon, you have to take that honeymoon in the hereafter. Why? Because you are there with Imam Hussein in Karbala. Wahab ibn Abdullah Khalid. Just married. And he went time and time to Imam Hussein, begging him for permission to go to the battle and die fighting. But Imam Hussein kept holding him back. When all of Imam Hussein's faithful friends, Habib ibn Mazahir, Jaun, Hamdani, Muslim ibn Awsajah, Zahir ibn Kain, all of them, when they had already passed, Imam Hussein told him that since he had his mother and his newlywed bride with him, he should secure their permission before because he owed a duty to them. The mother of Wahab, who was nearby, when she heard Imam Hussein's words, she said that since that morning she had been insisting upon her son to go and fight in defense of Imam Hussein before everybody else. Look at these women. Beautiful examples for us. Brave and strong. She said, I have nourished him with my milk in his childhood. And I shall consider him my son only if he dies defending you, as the others have done. According to Imam Hussein's bidding, Wahab went to his bride to seek her permission. With tears in her eyes, and this is where the young sisters can place yourself in the position of Wahab's bride. Tears in her eyes, she said to him, it is your first and foremost obligation to defend the Prophet's grandson and his family, even at the cost of your life. I hope to meet you in Jannah. I expect you to meet me at the threshold of heaven and to pray that our meeting there may not be long delayed. This is the kind of quality Muslim we had in the example of Karbala, brothers and sisters. The examples which, because of these examples, we can reflect on them year after year and not be diminished in our remembrance of their inspiration. It is like our opportunity to recharge ourselves, to go forward for a new year and a new experience, a new trust, a new energy for our struggle. But reflecting on the plains of Karbala, after all of them had died, Imam Hussein, everybody, these people started burning tents and they were looking for booty now. They were not happy, they were not satisfied with what they got. They found that they expected a lot of loot. I mean, this is the Prophet's grandson. You know, he is supposed to be a very rich man. Where is the money? You know, they are after bounty. All they got was the little that the ladies had. Simple items. some of which had been stitched by Lady Fatima with her own hands, of such great significance to the women that it was sad for them to have to lose these things. But a ruthless soldier snatched them away, even though they were such sentimental value. Because they were so angry at the lack of booty, remember these are bloodthirsty soldiers looking for wealth, they took the veils off these women, forcing them to expose their hair and faces. Women who were always covered and sheltered, protected from the eyes of other people. They removed their veils. Not satisfied with this, the enemy set fire to the tents. They burned the tents of the Ahlul Bayt. The terrified ladies of the Prophet family gathered their children and rushed them from tent to tent, trying to escape the burning flames. One young child was seen rushing out of a tent with her clothes on fire. One of the enemy soldiers, seeing her pitiable condition, he came forward and he put out the flames. It was a little girl. The child looked at him, surprised at the unexpected kindness. Tearfully, the little innocent child asked him, "Oh Sheikh, do me one more kindness and tell me the way to Najaf." The soldier was very surprised at this unusual request. He replied, "Najaf is far away from here. Why do you want to go all the way? Why do you want to know the way there?" The child said with heartbreaking innocence, "I want to go to the grave of my grandfather, Amir Mumineen Ali alayhi salam, and complain about what your people have done to us, how our men were butchered, and how our ladies have been whipped. I want to tell him how the earrings were snatched from my cousin Sakina's ears, leaving her earlobes torn and bleeding." Bibi Zainab alayhi salam, who had been left in charge of the camp by Imam Hussain alayhi salam, was at a loss as to what to do. She went to the seriously ill Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. He lay unconscious on the ground after the enemy had even rubbed the mattress on which he lay. She shook him urgently to ask his advice. He was burning with fever, but with a great effort he replied that it was compulsory on them to save their lives, and he asked her to get everyone from out of the burning tents into the open. Soon the raging fire subsided, leaving only one tent standing. All it was damaged by fire. The ladies and the children salvaged whatever they could of their few belongings and huddled together in that little shelter waiting for nightfall. Brothers and sisters, this is nightfall in Karbala, in the desert, alone and frightened, surrounded, tortured, whipped. وَلَعْنَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين ولي الله السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء سيلة النساء العالمين أمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته